fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue to talk today about Fatima, the miracle of Fatima. If you didn't have a chance to tune in the program yesterday, I talked about the first two secrets of Fatima. And I've been just reflecting this week on lessons to be learned and applied in our lives personally, but also being able to see the kind of apostasy and rebellion against God that's unfolding in our culture today, and to understand how much it offends God. We see it, we hear it from Our Lady, who a number of times told the children that Jesus sent her to give a warning to the earth and to warn the world to stop offending God, or God was going to allow the sin that was beginning to rise in human hearts and the cold-heartedness. Because, friends, we often forget, because of the comfort we live in and the busyness of life and seeing the beauty even of God's creation, to being in a healthy way distracted, we forget that we live in a battle. The earth is a battle zone between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdoms are contending for eternal souls, for human beings, for God's creatures, the crown of his creation. That's what's going on in the world at its most fundamental level. And when human beings made in God's image, who have real power by virtue of being created in God's image, we have tremendous power for good, and we have a tremendous power for evil. We can fall a long way because of our capacity to rise to such heights. And when the devil's here to seduce us into rebellion against God, and when we say yes to God and begin to turn from him, in the way that's happening in the culture today, at such a pace and at such a depth, what we end up doing is we use our freedom and we exercise our will, and we decide whether we make this specific connection or not. We decide to conform ourselves to this world. And this world is under the power of the evil one, the apostles tell us. The whole world is under the power of the devil, St. John tells us. And then instead of imitating God and bringing about the good things of God from a good heart, from a humble and loving and obedient heart, we end up being filled with pride and hubris, and the seven deadly sins begin to take hold of us, and we produce very ugly stuff. And we can see it in the culture. And I think Fatima and the 100th year here of remembering the message, it ought to go deep within us and not just remember the condition of the world at that time. In many ways, you could argue it may be worse today, in some way in which the rebellion and refusal of God and the will of God and the purpose and plan of God, how that is unfolding in our time today. So there's much here. And As I said, I ended yesterday with the two secrets. The first is Mary had gave the children just in an instant a glimpse of hell and the torment of those who are in hell. Lucia said if it wasn't for remembering that Mary promised the children that they would be taken to heaven, she said, I think we would have died from fear and terror. God wants us to know how serious sin is and how important it is to turn to Jesus Christ, the only antidote for that sin. In the second secret, Mary's talking about God's plan, Jesus' plan, of revealing and bringing about a devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart. And that God had a plan to bring about the conversion of Russia through Our Lady, and he still does. That'll still unfold. But that we needed to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and they have the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays of the month. So, the third secret. Here's what St. Sister Lucia said about the third secret. The secrets were given on July 13th, 1917. After the two secrets, which I've already explained, at the left of Our Lady and a little above, we saw an angel with a flaming sword in his left hand. Flashing, it gave out flames that looked as though they would set the world on fire, but they died out in contact with the splendor of Our Lady radiated towards him from her right hand. Pointing to the earth with his right hand, the angel cried out in a loud voice, "Penance! Penance! Penance!" And we saw in an immense light that is God, something similar to how people appear in a mirror when they pass in front of it, a bishop dressed in white. We had the impression that it was the Holy Father. other bishops and priests, men and women religious, going up a steep mountain, at the top of which there was a big cross of rough-hewn trunks as of a cork tree with the bark. Before reaching there, the Holy Father passed through a big city, half in ruins and half trembling with halting step. Afflicted with pain and sorrow, he prayed for the souls of the corpses he met on his way. Having reached the top of the mountain, on his knees at the foot of the big cross, he was killed by a group of soldiers who fired bullets and arrows at him, and in the same way, there died one after another the other bishops, priests, men and women, religious, and various lay people of different ranks and positions. Beneath the two arms of the cross, there were two angels, each with a crystal aspersorium in his hand, in which they gathered up the blood of the martyrs, and with it sprinkled the souls that were making their way to God. Here's a reflection, some brief thoughts from Father Michael Gately. It says, "It is widely accepted that this prophetic vision, which according to the Vatican should be understood in a symbolic key, refers primarily to the events that occurred during the Second World War and the Cold War. It paints a symbolic picture of the suffering of the Church in the midst of those wars, a suffering that happened because the directives of Our Lady of Fatima were not sufficiently followed." And there's more to say. Ultimately, that the shooting of John Paul II, Sister Lucia said she believed, and others in the Church believe, that that was really the fulfillment of this vision of the Holy Father being wounded. So Mary reveals the secrets to the children, and they call them secrets because Mary asked them to not say them for a period of time. And there's just so much to this fundamental story. One thing I do want to say about the secrets, it's interesting. The beginning of the 20th century, Our Lady comes, and one of the fundamental and first things that Jesus wants him to show the children and ultimately to reveal to the whole world is the reality of hell, and that people really go there, and that what sends us there is our own decision, is sin, is saying no to God, and using the freedom of the amazing creatures that we are, made in God's image and likeness. I don't think we understand. I mean, we can certainly be captivated by what we see, by the work of our own hands, by the beautiful art that can be created, or the architecture, or astounding music and human achievement. We honor those things, and to a degree we should. But they capture our attention. We're kind of a wonder to ourselves. But the source of that is the fact that we're made in the image and likeness of God. God has given us a share in his creative power. And we can do great things, but we can also use that power for ourselves instead of a power being used at the service of God. And when we do that, when we fail to remember the source of it, and we begin really to worship ourselves, we worship the creature rather than the creator, and we trust in our own wisdom and not in the wisdom of God, there's something very, very deep in the human heart, a secret rancor and hatred for God. That's part of the sin sickness of the human heart. I will not serve. I will not bow my knee to anybody. I want to see other people bow their knee to me. I want to be the center. I want to be preoccupied with my own pleasure, with my own pursuit of my own honors and possessions and things. So that potential, as I said earlier, for greatness and potential for horror are in us. And when human beings disconnect from God, horror is inevitable. It will come. There is no neutral ground. We step out from under the authority of God. And as St. Francis of Assisi, lovely St. Francis, the peaceful saint, said this to the politicians of the world. I've mentioned this on the program a number of times over the last few years. He wrote a letter to the politicians of the world of his time and said, if you fail to keep the commandments of God and you don't pay attention to the commandments of God, he said, anyone who does this puts themselves under a curse. That's basically what Scripture says, right? The Bible. So it reveals to us. And so walking away from God is never an innocent thing. It's always destructive, no matter how good we look. We put ourselves under a curse. And that curse is the curse of sin and death. And that sin and death will ultimately lead us to enslavement to the powers of darkness and eternal separation from God. That's why God had Mary reveal this reality of hell to the children. And isn't it interesting that the other saint of the 20th century, St. John Paul II, canonized Sister Faustina, the contemplative, she too, in this mercy, this revelation of mercy, the divine mercy, which is such an important gift of God in our time, to reveal the mercy of God. We can't understand the mercy of God without understanding the human condition. And she was taken to hell, just like St. Catherine of Siena had been taken to hell by God. And it was absolutely overwhelming for her in what she saw, the horror of what can become of human beings who refuse God. God is making that revelation to us, friends. He doesn't want anybody to end up there. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, but he won't force it upon us. He's speaking to us and to the world we live in today. Friends, we need to take it to heart. And the inspiration of Mary to the children to begin to pray the rosary daily, to repent for our sins, to do penance for the sins of the world. It's really, really important. And the children's lives changed so dramatically. I mean, they were good kids and spent their time doing things that kids love to do. And they didn't really like to pray that much when they first started praying the rosary. But they were taught they would want to get through it as fast as they could. So they would just say, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, all the way through without praying the full Hail Mary. But when they saw the reality of hell, they saw the battle that was going on. You see, even a child can understand it. And it's the pure heart of a child that believes God's revelation and is sincere and says yes to God and keeps room in his heart or her heart for God. And as we get older and we're so into so many other things, we have idols, we have things that we want to be preoccupied with, and we just decide we just don't have time for God anymore, or we don't have time for penance and fasting and prayer and doing the kind of things that the children showed us to do. But Jesus wants us to see, hey, it's simple. I'll help you. I'll give you the grace. The question is, do you want it? And friends, a time is coming for each one of us when our life will come to an end and we'll appear before the judgment seat of God. And what will happen in that moment is the truth about my choices and yours will be revealed before God and to us and to everyone. The truth about what we chose as God's free creatures, as those made in the image of likeness of God, what we chose to become will be made manifest. And Jesus will reveal in totality the intentions of your heart and mine. There will be no hiding, no excuses, no masking, no distraction possible, because we will have already made ourselves what we are. And by virtue of what we've made, what we've chosen as free creatures, what we loved, we will become. And if we love the darkness, if we love our own radical autonomy, if we love violence and lust and hatred and bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, if we cling to these things, and they shape our life, that will determine our destiny. And God will say, depart from me. Those are the most terrifying words any human being could ever hear. And that's why the children became radical intercessors for the salvation of souls. Let's do the same. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.